We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. Everybody's favorite podcast-based content is back. It is on Into the Winklerverse featuring me, Bart Winkler. Him, Grant Bills, he, Paul Immig, us, the trio of men that bring you the latest and recycled content. As I begin, we have a whole bunch of Packer updates in terms of the roster massaging. The big one everyone was worried about was, well, I don't know. I mean, there were two of them. Kicker, Greg Joseph, see ya. The Packers got a new Narv dog in the house whose name I've already forgotten. What's his first name?
Braden.
Charles?
Braden.
Chris? Braden Narveson?
I'm going to keep calling him Chris Narveson.
I mean, Narv dog at minimum. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you're like, this is the way that the world works now. If you're like, oh, Packers got a kicker I never heard of. Has anyone done a deep dive on him yet online? Yes. Nine people have. So enjoy if you must see every kick he's ever made. So that's the big news. The other big news in Malik Willis news is that he will be donning the number two.
Mm.
Formerly worn by Mason Crosby.
Mm.
So he will be back wearing the number two. What else? Packers cut a bunch of dudes that have signed elsewhere. No surprise, Samari Torrey is a former Packer. He is now with the Bears on their practice squad.
That's shocking.
Anthony Johnson Jr. is with the Giants. There's another guy they lost. So they're, you know, Packers.
Royce Newman.
Royce Newman where? Tampa?
I don't know where he went.
He went somewhere.
I knew Giants and I knew Bears.
Yeah. So the Packers lost some guys. And they are continuing to massage their roster. Because, again, what you got to remember, guys, is that the roster that is put out on the Tuesday, it's just the initial 53. It's not the final. In fact, there never is truly a final. It's always a work in progress. But I think I referred to this week and cut day as like trade deadline for people that truly view these people as just like transactionary figures. 1,000 people lost their jobs this week. And we're all like, oh, did you see Grant DeBose sign with the Bears? So it's just a very weird week. Anything in that perturbs you the most? Grant, you're taking calls on kickers and backup quarterbacks for 2 weeks.
I think the fact that DeBose and Anthony Johnson Jr. got claimed, that speaks to the depth of their roster. Like, I think Andy Herman tweeted it out. It's something that I've been harping on this week. There were 26 players claimed today, and the Packers had three of them. I don't know why Royce Newman was one, but the other two, like, that's like, those are nice players. That speaks to the Packers' depth. I'm probably going to talk about it tonight. I don't know that I'd bring this up with my friend at the bar, but seeing I have 2 hours to fill, I'm going to wonder why we keep giving Rich Bisaccia a player. Like, Anthony Johnson Jr. is better than Zane Anderson. Okay. He's the better safety, he's a better football player. And we're keeping Zane Anderson, which is probably fine. But at some point, if we're going to keep making those decisions, I'd like for his special teams to make some sort of an impact, especially if he can't develop a kicker.
Former NFL interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia.
Well, the thing, too, what's driving me up a wall is that unit And I don't know what you guys do, but I call it the not so special teams.
You know, that's clever. And I like that it's original. Grant, the other piece for that, that you might have seen of the 26 claimed players, the Packers of which have three, Packers were tied for the most in the NFL of claimed players of whom they released, with Bart's favorite team, favorite GM, John Lynch, and the San Francisco 49ers also had three players who they released get claimed by another team. Six of the 26 Packers or Niners getting claimed.
Well, I'm hoping something happens during the taping of this, because if I said by tonight.
What is there left to happen?
Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, I see.
So if something does not happen with Brandon Ayuk today, I will not talk about him on my show for the remainder of the 2024 season.
That's quite a declaration.
I don't care what he does. I don't care if he wins MVP. His name is not coming up. We have spent way too much time on this situation, and I will not bring it up. So I'm going to make a big deal of that. Also, tonight's a pretty light show, so I need some sort of bit to carry me through the 4 hours. The other thing I'm going to talk about tonight, very excited, is I'm going to shit all over Deion Sanders.
Whoa, you're kind of a Deion guy.
I am, but I'm tired of it. It's just every headline the last 2 weeks is, no matter what, it's not good enough. It's like
people are coming for Deion. My boss at one point weeks ago used this expression, never heard it before. I liked it. You got to aid in your own rescue. Like at some point, Deion, like if you want people to extend you some graces, you rebuild the shit program. You need to meet him in the middle somewhere. And he seems to not want to do that. I like expressions. So that one came to mind.
I saw this one tweet where a guy's like, so one thing I do at my work is I just start making up expressions during team calls. And like, see if it ever picks up, like whatever. So he goes, one week he was like, yeah, it's just, you gotta get the horses, something really stupid. Like get the horses, you know, to eat a dozen eggs or something really dumb.
Sorry, who is this?
Just some random guy on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So he's just saying, I make up phrases.
Got it.
In my sessions. And then notice a couple weeks later, like it's the one thing my boss drives home. Like it's just a fun little game that he is playing. There's also this guy on Instagram that is going to restaurants every day until somebody asked him, do you want the regular? And then once they do that, he never goes again. Now, these are the reasons for social media to continue to exist. But those and those alone. Anyway, Paul,
it's a really good bit, by the way. I really like that.
Yeah, it probably gets expensive. And if you're the restaurant and you know about the bit, you get this guy for life.
Have you ever reached that point? I got that way with a coffee shop in La Crosse. And I'm like, this rules, because it was the same, like two ladies every day. And I liked them. But I'm like, that means the money. I can't. And that actually, they scared me off by being so nice to me.
Just Captain and Coke. Just. Oh, Bart, here you go, bud.
I didn't stop with. That did not deter me. I only spent more money because of that. But the coffee in the morning, it deterred me.
There was a bar. It used to be in Fond du Lac. It was called JR's. We went there. So this is after our college, when we all moved back home and we're the unemployed boomerang gang, because we all boomerang back home. We called it the boomerang gang. And we would go to this bar, and no matter what I ordered, drank, or ate, my bill was always $19.75. So I could get two captains and leave, $19.75. I could get seven captains and dinner, $19.75. It's the greatest shit. We love. We laugh, live, and love. Mm.
Last week's episode, in which our main two topics were the Packers backup quarterback and the Packers kicker, in hindsight, was clearly a prognostication of the best levels of the history of
Oh yeah, people are still flocking to that episode.
The power of
I think 8 people saw it yesterday, a week later.
That's and at, you know, at a revenue per 1,000 views of $4, that's 8 cents.
You know, every dime counts.
No, but seriously, I do want to say, as this news happened, not that this was like, wow, how could they have figured this out? But it was interesting seeing this play out, where not only they didn't get Tannehill, they got a different Titans quarterback. And then the kicking situation being what it was, I just thought that was pretty
also from the Titans.
Pretty interesting. Also from the Titans.
So we're taking all their garbage, their kicker, their backup quarterback, Matt LaFleur.
You know who you should have on to talk about this? Yeah, Bart. Jared Stillman. That's who you should have on your show. He could help you break down all these moves.
Fun.
What was his line?
He had the Packer, the Aaron Rodgers.
What was the thing he did? He did like.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
Sources say that.
Oh, the house in Nashville.
Yeah, but then he had like a line.
Oh, I don't know.
Ah, oh, fuck. I can't think
I'll
of
find
that.
It.
It was like, meh, meh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where'd that guy go?
Out.
Didn't he get a show?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. What was it? Oh, it was two words.
He was on a show called Stillman and Company.
Open to joining the Titans. Oh,
yeah.
That's what it was.
Quote, open. Yeah, I was right. Yeah. Quote, open. And he did this. He goes, yeah. Open. He like did nine air quotes. Open.
His version of the Schefter.
Can I just throw a quick one out that I brought up on the show last night?
Please.
I said that if the Bears played Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in the Super Bowl, I would root for the Bears. Mm-hmm. You would?
Mm-hmm. And that's I think that's actually less. Let me tell you why I think that.
It got Austin to call in and like yell at me.
Let me tell you why I think that's, and I don't know what you said. I didn't hear this part. Let me tell you why I think that's the right move for a Packers fan, even a Packers fan who doesn't hate Rodgers the way you do. If the day were ever to come that Giannis leaves the Bucks, hopefully it won't happen. I don't care what he does as long as he doesn't have two championships, one with the Bucks and one with the new team. If you know Favre had gotten one with the Vikings, now it's the Vikings, not the Jets. It's different. But like one and one, like, oh, so like
if Rodgers had two and then got one with the Jets, that'd be fine.
I think for me it would change the math to the point where I would start
like
to say
how Jim McMahon has one with the Packers.
Yeah, but obviously I know you know that that's different, but in all sincerity, like that would be where you'd say like, oh God, I mean, half of his Aaron Rodgers is clearly a Packer. How come half of his Super Bowls are with another team? And then how come he just now clearly if the Jets are in the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, it's because Rodgers played extraordinarily well. And then that would have me say, why couldn't he have done that in the fill in the blank year championship game when he forced this pass or when he, so the Bears to me have been irrelevant enough for long enough. And I think this is why you don't hate the Bears to the extent that you maybe do like even the Vikings. At least that's how I feel.
I think Vikings, I would root for Rodgers.
That's what I'm saying. There's a difference. And I think part of it for me is like the Bears have almost become like that silly older brother. I think older brother, you know, cause like they think are the Bears fans?
The Packers are like Corey Matthews. And the Bears are like Eric, where in the early seasons, Eric was like competent. But for the last 15 years, he was like a complete doofus. A
very specific reference. But
Boy Meets World, everybody.
It is Boy Meets World. So I'm curious what Grant would say. And I'm curious for you to hear more about what you said, the very vocal response that you got from Q was. But or Austin. Austin, sorry. Yeah. I think I've done that like in the past. But I think it's for me, it's because I don't want Giannis should go to another team and win a championship unless he's won two with the Bucks. To me, that's something. I don't know why. Maybe it's petty or silly, but like I would always want to say, like, well, the majority of the time was spent with the Packers, with the Bucks, and was won that way. So I would probably watch it for the commercials and just the football would be the football, but I would be more okay from the legacy of Packers quarterbacks. Like I was happy that Favre didn't go with the Vikings. Grant.
You know, I think it's Cohn that always says that you have smooth brain when it comes to Rodgers or like Rodgers brain melt. Rodgers annoys me. And sometimes I hold that against him with my takes or jokes that I make, but I don't know why you'd cheer for him or cheer against him when he's playing a division rival that you're like the Bears will be a factor.
Because I hate Rodgers more than I hate the Bears.
Okay, but that's a you personal thing. That's not a sport. That's not a sports.
Well, this is about who I'm rooting for.
Okay, well, that's fine. Then that's a you thing. I don't think it would make any sense for Packers fan for football reasons. Like, I'll probably cheer for Rodgers against the Bears. The rest of the season, I'm probably indifferent on him. I don't want to see him win a Super Bowl somewhere else. I don't know if I'd actively, really aggressively cheer against him like I did with Favre, but there would be that part of me deep down where it's like, kind of like deep down, I cheered against the Timberwolves because even though I don't have a problem against them, it's like, no, we won a title. I don't really want them to also get that thing that we had, like, you know, kind of just deep down, like if they win, cool. But also like if they don't, I'm kind of.
Grant, what do you think about what I said, though? Like, you don't think it diminishes the Rodgers, even if you are either a pro Rodgers guy or a neutral Rodgers guy? Don't you think it diminishes when you start to say the legacy of Aaron Rodgers? He won 2 Super Bowls, parentheses, 1 Packers, 1 Jets. Like, well, that would be part of the book.
Well, and this is an extension of, like, how many points has Bart made about, like, Rodgers MVPs? Those are for him. Those aren't for me. Him winning a Super Bowl with the Jets would be additive to his legacy, but obviously wouldn't do anything for Packers fans. So I don't think it would cheapen his Super Bowl. Also, that Super Bowl was so long ago now. That's carved into the football headstone. Like, if Giannis wins another one, his first one was still very fresh. And is there anything to that, or am I just spitballing?
No, that Rodgers isn't even the same person.
Exactly. It feels like a completely different era of everyone's life, a different era of his career. They wouldn't almost feel connected.
You were midway through 6th grade.
Seventh.
Seventh. Sorry. I was pretty close.
It was great. I was so jacked up to go to school the next day. Oh,
I can't believe you had to go.
It sucks. We watched our quarterbacks, both of them. Favre won one and Rodgers won one. And then we watched them for another decade plus not win one.
Yeah. Well, and in Rodgers' case, and for the majority of, like, not get to one.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, what do you got?
Honestly, I think, Grant, if I had your 2-hour sports show, like, I would make that 2 hours. I would want a poll of, like, Packers fans. All right. And of course, there'd be a lot of people who just, like, vehemently say, I was here for Rodgers. I love Rodgers. And that's okay. Fine.
But I
still think 30 to 40% would say they would cheer for the Bears. I think it'd be less than 50%. I think more would cheer for the Jets / Rodgers, but I don't think it's like 90 to 10. Do you?
No, I think almost everyone would cheer for Rodgers and the Jets.
You think like you think 90% ish?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I think I'd be.
I do that topic on my show. Minority. I do that for a segment if they were playing each other. Like, hey, it's Thursday. We've hit all the Packers angles. You know, Jets Bears this weekend. Who you cheer? Let's talk about that. Like, the week of for a segment. I don't know that I'm gonna. Just because I don't think it, there's only so many Barts out there. Most Packers fans would be like, oh, no, I cheer for Rodgers.
You mean who have like a passionate Rodgers take?
Yeah. Yes.
There's not enough Barts out there.
Well, I mean, in this realm. Bart, you're the common voice for the common man on so many other things. I just think this, you're a little bit extreme.
And Bart, you usually cheer based on like which fan base would annoy you less. And I'm surprised a little bit because I feel like Bears fans are your number one enemy fan base of any sports team. Fans, not the team. I think you...
The Bears do annoy me, but it's more the Cubs.
So Cubs are one. Are Bears two? Bears fans are ahead of Vikings fans in the Bart hatred gauge, right? In the Bartometer of it?
No, Bears fans, I just feel like, are part of the blue checkmark wave where it's just saying shit to get attention.
Okay.
Well, I was actually going to ask you, like, I love Parkins. It just seems like his thing so far is moving now nationally Caleb Williams narratives on FS1, just like throwing those.
It's the same shit I do as a Packer owner.
I suppose.
What did I say last night? I was saying a lot of shit last night. I was fucking on one.
I would also contend that there's this huge portion of Bears Twitter that's annoying as hell that we would never interact with if not for Bukowski. Like, Bukowski is the lamp that attracts the moths that we'd never interact with those people. They wouldn't exist. They wouldn't operate the way that they do if it wasn't for, like, Bukowski and a couple of other Packers people who just, like, want to fight everyone. That, like, they're glued to Bukowski like a moth to a flame.
Here's the other thing, though. Like, would you want, like, the mic? Would you
tell
want
him that next time you have him on?
I felt bad because I texted him on Monday and told him to kiss my ass because Arrowhead beat his alma mater in some crazy awesome high school game on Friday. And I'm like, yeah, suck it. and he didn't respond. And then someone told me later this week, he's like, yeah, Pete gave you a nice shout out on his podcast. I'm like, oh, no, I feel like an asshole.
Now you got to tell him, like, Pete, there's a Simpsons bit where Montgomery Burns goes through like 9 different layers of security to get to their head, like, console where everything, and he's got to do a face recognition and a voice. And by the time that he gets in there, there's actually a screen door that's just open and raccoons come in there. That's Pete. Pete's that door. Because we try to block all this outside noise, and Pete's just like letting them in. I love it. You got to tell him that.
I do like that. I'll pass that along to Pete.
If society was full of Barts, I just wanted to say, like, baseline Bart, the way I look at life, it would be such a utopia. Everyone would have access to stuff. There'd be so many world problems would be solved. We would all love each other. The one issue would be that no one would drive, because road rage would be number one cause of death by like extreme proportions.
Jeez.
Oh, I mean, it was just, I mean, I've, some of these guys, they cut me off and I'm ready to chase.
How far is your drive to work?
It takes 25 minutes.
Can you make it shorter for this? Is there anything we can do to make it shorter for this?
I would love to just work like right there, but I never got that rolling.
All right. Question for you. Topic for you. Many are saying the lesson learned here is that you should never draft kickers. My fear is that Brian Gutekunst's lesson learned will be, I should have drafted 3 kickers. All right, that's a Grant Bills tweet. And I sent it to you and I just said, that should be the strategy. That would be a good strategy. I said, oh, we'll save it for, So I'm going to say it like this. And by the way, the Packers do this. Like, this is not like a foreign concept. They've done it with running backs in the draft. They've done it with wide receivers in the draft. You draft 3 and you hope that one hits. But where they're at with the kicking situation, and Grant, you posted that before we learned of the existence of Braden Narveson. I was trying to see if I could remember that off the top of my head, and I did. Braden Narveson. Whether it be like the Bisaccia take of this, or that they've had to sign as their new kicker, and by the way, it's his job. The Packers are not keeping Anders Carlson on the practice squad. Like, this is it. Like, this is the kicker. Let's say Narveson is a competent, but clearly not like never going to be, isn't a top 12 kicker, right? He'll get you through a couple years. Like, it's not great. He doesn't cost you a season, but he's not great. You clearly are going to need another one, let's say, in the next few years. The Packers' strategy for finding that next kicker, Brian Gutekunst's strategy for finding that next kicker, should be by trying to draft another one. You should go back to the try to draft a kicker thing. But the alternative to that is like, I don't know, just hope you get lucky in undrafted free agency, or give a second round pick for Justin Tucker, whatever it might be. But knowing what's happened, if you were Brian Gutekunst, you and Grant, actually right before I think we started recording, you said that, and you can probably relay the Brian Gutekunst quote, but that he might give up on specialists too quickly. This is a very long-winded way of the Packers should not give up. They should try again. Let me phrase it. The Packers should try again to draft a kicker in the near future. They shouldn't be deterred.
I don't have a problem with them drafting kickers. Day 3. If you want to use a 5th, 6th, or 7th round on a kicker.
Which, Anders was a 6th.
Yeah, that hits your philosophy.
Nuts. Go nuts. Day 1 and day 2 picks, a little different. But if you want to use a 5th, 6th, or 7th round on a kicker, go nuts. Because if the kicker doesn't work out, everyone on Twitter's and like, that's why you never draft kickers. It's like, okay, but we don't do that for other positions. You know what I mean? Like, you don't draft a D lineman in the 5th round. Kamal Martin was a 5th round pick. And he lasted 1 year.
Oh, I thought he was going to be the best player in that fucking class.
I thought he was. I thought he was going to be good too. And then he wasn't. But we didn't turn around the next year and be like, well, that's why you don't draft linebackers. And there's apples and oranges a little bit, but whatever. If you think you're going to get a good kicker, I don't think it helps the odds though, Paul. And there's a lot of data to back that up, that there isn't a higher hit rate for kickers drafted versus undrafted. If this kicker doesn't work, they should go back to the well next year and try again. Yeah. And if they want to use day 3 picks, fine. Yes.
Bart, don't be, if you're Brian Gutekunst, don't be deterred by the miss that this is with Anders Carlson, that if they need to, whether it's next year, the year after, draft him, they need another kicker, go ahead and draft one. Don't be deterred by this gaffe.
I try to not be a never guy, like the never bunt movement. You know, there might be situations you want to bunt. There might be a situation you want to draft a kicker. Here's what I'll say, though. The mistake that Gutekunst made was they applied to kickers what you should apply to every other pick. Kickers, I got these people, like, one of the things that people call in the most about that I don't ever bring up is, should there be a quarterback salary cap separate? I'm like, who's mentioning this? This is stupid. No, but it repeats, and I think it might even be the same guy. I don't know how many times I have to tell him no.
Sounds like he has a distinctive voice, so it shouldn't be too hard to figure out.
But with kickers or with quarterbacks, and this is why, like, people are like, well, I don't know about Jordan Love half a season. Jordan Love half a season, you're giving that much money? I mean, he's good, but half a season. You're paying and you're drafting not on what they did, but on what they're going to do, okay? With kickers, fucking scrap that. You don't draft a kicker based on potential. Kickers are what they are. If you can kick far, you can kick far. By college, we know. If you're accurate, you're accurate. You can't develop a kicker. And certainly not because his brother was decent.
This leads into Grant's Passaccia thing, though.
I mean, and we're acting like his, it's not like this guy's name is Dustin Tucker. We were doing this for Anders Carlson and Daniel Carlson.
Yeah.
If it was like Tucker's brother, that's one thing. It's Daniel Carlson. So kickers are what they are. If you see a guy who's really good, you're like, all right, I got a sixth round pick. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to draft a guy I'm going to cut anyway. Might as well bring another kicker into camp. That's a totally fine use of your resources, I believe. I think another way to do that and scrap it is I was not fucking around. They should have tried to get Jake Bates from the Michigan Panthers, the dude that's kicking 60 yarders in the UFL, who is now going to be kicking for the Lions.
Lions, yeah, that's what I thought.
The UFL is a great way to see 8 weeks of these guys, 10 weeks of these guys in pressure situations,
yeah,
kicking relatively close to when the season starts. Sign the best one of them. Don't take a 21-year-old out of college and hope that he can be something. Take a guy that's done it. I mean, I just with every other position, yeah, you want to hit, you want to draft. There's so much potential. We've seen it over and over. With kickers, it's not like I don't know. I think developing the kicker made no sense to me, and clearly they bailed on it as well.
And by the way,
don't you think you should have a little bit of a reason to maybe think that way if you're paying your special teams coordinator maybe more than any other special teams coordinator in the league?
Well, maybe that was a mistake. Well, if you want to start the hashtag fire Passaccia, I might jump back on Twitter just to go with you.
No, I'm not saying fire. I'm just saying
interrogate.
Yeah. Apply pressure. Right. We're here to hold those in positions of power accountable, Bart. And hashtag, you snuffed me off at that idea last night, but it's true.
It's not super catchy, but yeah. Hashtag apply pressure to Passaccia. Kind of long.
Yeah. I need to figure out what exactly I'm going for here, but I'm going for something with Passaccia. I don't know.
So on the, just as a tangent of the specialist conversation, the Bears used a fourth round pick on a 26-year-old punter.
Well, that's different because he's fucking awesome.
So my question is, if you knew
punter's different than kicker,
say more.
They don't do the same thing.
I know they don't, but like, where's your line? Like,
oh, field position game?
No, I'm saying like,
oh,
is one more, are you saying one is more predictable than the other? Like one is, why is it so different to you?
I think the punter can impact the possession of a, they're just different, dude.
All right, fine. I'll let
one
you
one scores points. The other doesn't. I mean,
yeah, I don't want to say he's more important or valuable because a kicker does jack shit for 3 hours an afternoon and then they just trot him out there four times. It's like, oh, by the way, these are the four biggest plays of the game.
And by the way, what's interesting, though, because it kind of goes to your thing of, like, don't draft an unproven 21-year-old kicker. They can't really develop. He's not just a punter who went in the fourth round. He's a 26-year-old punter. Like, he is what he is. So my question to you is, and this is much like the Justin Tucker second-round pick conversation from last week, if you knew, you knew it was foretold, it was guaranteed you were drafting the best punter in the league, the best, for 10 years. You get 10 years of the best punter in the league. You would use a third-round pick on that. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
If I had the best anything in the league, sure.
Anything. So, okay, and punter you'd probably
would say. I mean, I'd trade a second-round pick for Justin Tucker, I said last week. So
I would, too.
If I knew I was getting the best kicker in the league. Punter. This punter at Iowa, I mean, he's the reason Iowa was even anything. They couldn't do dick on offense.
So, like, I think it was actually, and I'm with you on this. I mean, a fourth round, this guy's name is Torrey Taylor, but, like, yeah. He seems to be ridiculously good at his job as a punter in the NFL. And I don't know, Grant hasn't chimed in. Maybe he has no opinion, or maybe he's holding back. He's rearing up to just go crazy on this one. But, like, I would, much like I would also, sorry, Tony in Texas, I saw your tweet, but, like, I would trade a second for Justin Tucker. I would.
So you are stealing Tony's topics.
I'm not stealing his topic. I'm, in fact, saying why I disagree, but I bet he'll also disagree with this one. I would use, like, if every NFL team could have seen unequivocally, like, that Torrey Taylor is as good as what he seems to be, would other teams have tried to jump the Bears now that they've seen what they've seen and not just watched his Iowa?
I think they know what he is, but nobody, it's like the fourth round, and you're like, fucking punter.
No, I know, but so I'm saying I would have, like, if I would have known as much about him in the draft, like I presume other GMs did, knew more than I, regular person, knew, I would totally have used a fourth ahead of the Bears. Like, that's a really valuable thing to have if he's
but what's the advantage? Let's say you have a replacement level punter, an average punter or better than average punter. Like, sure. How much value are you getting by getting the best punter versus just an average? Like, if you have an awful punt, if you have a terrible punt, yeah, that's one thing. If you have no punter, but Whelan's looked good.
Well, ask Ron Wolf what his biggest regret is. It was, he didn't want to pay Craig Hendrick more than $1 million because he didn't think kickers should or punters should make more than $1 million.
The other side note.
Then we drafted BJ fucking Sanders, Widow Peak.
That's right. So Grant,
what's that thing called?
Yeah,
Crow's Peak, Widow Peak.
Mm-hmm. Widow. I think you had it right. You had it right the first time.
Grant. I mean, I shouldn't judge about hair.
He was also half your age when he got drafted. BJ Sanders.
Grant, you got a little Sander going on.
It's a Widow's Peak. What'd you say, Paul? I had to take my headphones off to
This is our fun hypothetical game. The Bears probably, like, assumed that Torrey Taylor would be really good, but now they can, like, say it for a fact. What's the highest you would use a draft pick on a punter, Grant?
Sixth or seventh rounder.
So you would say, even with the success that Torrey Taylor has had, it was cray cray to do.
Yeah, because he's a punter.
Yeah, but this punter, this specific guy, is better than, like, the punters of the last 30. This guy's,
by the way, better. We're paying a special teams coordinator a pile of money. I'm not doing shit out of my way for him. Like, you can figure it out with Daniel Whelan. Okay. Like, you're not getting roster spots dedicated to you, cut down time every year, and a fourth round pick on a punter and a fifth round pick on a kicker. Like, no.
So what if Passaccia
going on the third day? That's really good. All right. Like, I'm not going to flip out, but third or a fourth round pick. Come on now. It's a punter.
But again, let's just say, like, I like the way you're thinking about it, Grant, and we won't have to go too much deeper on this, but it's the idea, like, if he is 8 yards per punt of field position better than the second best guy, and that's not going to be that, I don't think the distinction will be that significant, but, like, if you're like, hey, it's a first down difference approximately more that the opposing offense has to get, like, I'm sure you could find a way to quantify the value of that. But anyway, the last thing I'll say on this is I just saw a tweet quoting Matt LaFleur at the podium, Bart's guy Domofsky said, Matt LaFleur called bringing in a new kicker right before the opener uncharted territory for him, and he may have to take that into account on some fourth down decisions in the opener. Quote, absolutely, 100%. I think you've got to take into account all the circumstances, end quote. So now, yeah.
Good. Go for it more on fourth down anyways. That's
fine. I mean, right. I'm kind of.
If you're signing a guy you're not confident in, then don't sign him.
Now he's saying for week one, so, like, just to clarify, but I still think that's kind of messed up.
Corey, has sent me, he sent me a message yesterday about
Banky.
No, I Corey doesn't like me. I met him. He's was oh. pissed to see me. Yeah, but I mean, some of these people have good reason not to. I've been there. He said, "Why don't the Packers sign Messi?" And while that's very like Division III high school football of him to get your soccer player to be your kicker, we aren't going to fucking Brazil. We could just sign a dude in Brazil just to kick a fucking oblong shape.
That would be sick.
That would be sick if the Packers just like had tryouts on a Wednesday. All right, Brazil, we want to really grow the game. One of you are going to be a Packer. That's what I would do.
Those are probably one of the better places, Iowa and a soccer-based country. Those are the places that you want to find your specialists. And I guess maybe Australia.
All right. That being said, I do want to remind you. Wait a minute. Let me just do this. I got to say. Just still tinkering with the Dan Shaney YouTube after all these years. Check him out, by the way. I have something to tell you about happyplacehemp.com. They have this promo code, guys. Listen to me on this one. They've got a promo code, 25% off. It's going to help you with your CBD. I'm Alex Jonesing this one. But they have the promo code BART, 25% off every order. So you get the gummies, you get the oils, the lotions, the lip balms you can use, all this different stuff to use CBD in a way that has helped people. And every time you get it, it's 25% off. There's also the THC stuff. There's a CBD CBN, which is great to sleep in, which I've needed more than ever lately because kids insisting and coming into the bedroom. And by the time I'm home, he's there and I can't sleep because he's kicking me all night. And now he's waking up in the middle of the night with dreams. Last night he woke up just giggling his ass off, which was very cute, but also daddy wants to sleep. So the gummies help me get back down when I need them. Check them out. All their products, happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART, 25% off for each and every order. Each and every order. It never goes away. 25% off promo code is BART. I did not freeze. I just froze my face. Paul's looking at his phone. And Grant's getting some work done for his big show coming up now that he's on YouTube and Twitter. Do you notice a larger amount of people interacting with you?
I don't. Well, sure. In the means of interaction that didn't exist before. Yeah.
Like, have you got paid from Elon yet?
No. Although if I keep manipulating Packers Twitter the way that I think I'm figuring out how to, that might start before too long.
You got to let me know if you get a check, because if you get a check that's over $100, I'm in.
It's so easy to farm engagement on Packers Twitter.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's why all the national heads pick on us. We're such obvious marks for it.
Can we do, I know you like when you get Bartometer suggestions from Robert in Annapolis, but how about most easily triggered fan bases?
I think that's one of the ones he suggested.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think this week I'm just going to do my QB rankings. That seems to be a thing people are doing this week.
Okay.
Well, Sando's got his quarterback tears out. Mm-hmm. Don't roll your eyes at that. That's a big thing that happens every summer. That's the start of football season.
I like when Grant says it. Feeding families.
Yeah, and it does feed families from a content perspective, yeah.
Sando's late season stuff. All right, here's what we have to get into. We're going to complain about, maybe defend, if you guys are, umpires. Grant, you and I are, I think, on pretty drastically different pages when it comes to, quote, robo-umps or having a system in place where, like, in the minor leagues where they tap the helmet to do the review. And I think Bart's a lot more with you than he is with me, especially because he's scared of the robot takeover. But, Grant, you got to see firsthand, and I have it saved here, your boy C.B. Buckner, you got to watch a game live in which the Brewers played the A's, lost by one run, and C.B. Buckner gave 2.34 runs to the A's in a one-run game. He missed 12% of his calls. He missed 18 pitches that were called incorrectly, far more of those and meaningful ones in favor of Oakland or the A's, whatever city they're going to be called. His called strike accuracy was 78%. 11 of his 51 called strikes were actually balls. Anyway, all of this to say, you got to experience it firsthand. And I know last week, I think what makes this fun is we were texting about like, hey, after you saw Anders Carlson miss a 32-yard field goal, now would you trade a second for Justin Tucker? You're like, no. Now that you've seen the Packers backfield quarterbacks, are you sure you don't want Ryan Tannehill? Like, so sometimes seeing like the new evidence doesn't necessarily sway you. You watched a CB Buckner game that hurt the Brewers. Maybe that game will mean nothing at the end of 162, but you had to sit there and endure it. He was awful, and he was awful in favor of the Brewers' opponent, costing them literally. Like, they lost by one. Buckner gave them 2.34 runs. Guess what the difference is there? Grant, you're ready to have an honest, sincere dialogue about the value that a helmet tap, that an overcorrection of a ball strike. You're ready to have a conversation about why that could be beneficial for Major League Baseball.
I would rather go to Robo Umps before we do the stupid helmet tap. Whatever. That would just, if I don't want a half measure.
Whatever the process is, I don't really care, but I'm saying something, some kind of measure that
I don't want to review
that would remove this level of awfulness.
Get rid of the horrible ump. CB Buckner sucks and he has forever and everybody knows it. Like, we went into that game on Brewers Twitter, like, here we go, like, strap in, because this guy blows at his job. Okay, so he's not Angel Hernandez. His name, he's not Angel Hernandez in name, but in resume, he's just about right there. Yeah. Get rid of the bad umps, okay? Now, I will say, seeing you mention that stupid helmet tap review thing that they've started doing, just go to robot umps before we do that. Either we trust the umpire to do his job or we don't. I'm not doing both, because then I'm going to get the best. I'm going to get the worst of both worlds. I'm going to get human error that then we have to sit there and correct. No. Just get rid of the bad umps. Just get rid of the bad umps. Or if they make a horrible call, I don't want them reviewed. I would rather them replay it up on the Jumbotron and then the umpire have to stand there and watch it with the crowd reacting behind them. That's what I want. Shame. Public shame.
I like the idea of public shame. Here's the only problem with your solution. Your solution will never happen. So I'm not going to let you get away with that, because they won't. Umpires union being what it is, they aren't able to do that. Like, you saw how hard and how long it took for them to get Angel Hernandez out.
I also think he had an embarrassment kink. I think he had to get off somehow on because no other man would do what he did for that long. No other man.
No, but keep in mind, Angel Hernandez thought he was doing a great job.
I don't think he couldn't have possibly thought that.
He thought he deserved
He'd have to be an idiot based on
his terrific resume.
Okay, well then let's just not employ idiots. Let's just have cognitive tests, because I think he was missing a few screws if that was the case.
Okay, but let me.
I'm not playing along with your topic, and we're not getting productive conversation, which is what is your goal. I don't want automatic balls and strikes, because I don't want these games to be simulations. I don't want it to be like a game of Risk where we're just rolling dice and letting the outcome get decided. Like, there needs to be some active participation.
But I guess I still don't understand though why you would want that active participation from a third party.
This is part of the game.
Like the two teams.
Paul, let me step in here, because here's what's happening with baseball. And
which, by the way, per Grant Bills is a better product than the NBA. So, I mean, Grant loves it. Like, that's irrelevant. Like, sorry, go ahead, Bart.
No, God, interrupting me.
Yeah, I know. I pulled a U.
So one thing that I was bitching about this week, I just want to get this in there, is, and this is part of my point, what's different about the American League and National League right now? What's different?
I think nothing, right?
There's literally no difference. They all play each other. There's no different rules. So why do we have an AL MVP and an NL MVP? Why are we still doing that?
It's the way that it's always been done.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. We don't have an AFC and an NFC. We don't have an Eastern and a Western. So why are we doing it?
Good question.
So I've been talking to people on the show. I've been like, please tell your friends this. And I'm saying it. I'm trying to get an article written about me. I use it as one of my sports minutes. Do you guys air those minutes or no? Do you not air them?
I don't know.
I don't program shit.
I got to do them every day. But it's like my chance to get on like some stations that I'm not on. So I'm sure. Like, I gotta be big with this one. So they're like, who the fuck said that? Sometimes it's, works out for us.
Bart Winkler has no filter.
Yeah, guys, I just want us all to get along. Infinity Sports. Baseball more than any other sport, I might say, is continually looking for ways to remove strategy. Right? You're putting a pitch limit or a pitcher limit on, you guys got to throw three outs if you're a reliever in most cases. You've taken away the designated hitter. You've taken away all these things. I feel like when you play a game, everything is a variable. Who you're playing against, the field that you're on. I mean, the fields are different. Should we all manufacture the same fields?
Great take.
Should every field
Paul,
be?
Paul, I bet Paul thinks so.
I actually loved the flagpole in center field in Houston.
Look, that was kind of stupid, but I wish it was still there.
I thought it was cool. I mean, I didn't want people to get hurt, but like, I thought it was really cool.
But everything, like some stadiums should have their bullpens on the side. Like, oh fuck, that sucks. That's weird. Every dimension, like we're conforming. All these NFL stadiums are the same, like in appearance, everything's conforming. The umpire, I think, should be looked at the same way as the dimensions of the field and the weather. It's a variable that you need to figure out how to best it.
No, let me tell you why that's different. You like both teams have an equal opportunity to like understand the wind and to understand the patterns.
The wind can change throughout the game.
But there's a measurable.
Sometimes it rains in one half inning, not the other.
There are measurable ways that would be like, oh, it went up from 13 miles per hour to 16, and now it's going southwest and not due south. There's ways you can say like, okay, we can like plan for this. The whims of an idiot behind the plate are an uncontrolled variable. I like variables. Variables are fun. Field dimensions, the green monster, the bullpens on the side, like less room behind home plate for a catcher to catch a pop up behind home plate.
What about if the sun gets in Garrett Mitchell's eyes and the ball drops 20 yards in front of him? That's an uncontrolled variable. Can't control the sun.
Can control how you react to the sun and play off the sun, though.
And you can control how you react to these batters. And maybe if these batters weren't so dependent on, I don't know, it's close, the ump will save me. How about you just swing the fucking ball, which is what we're all there to see?
Yeah, you're a hitter, not a watcher. That I agree with.
Because hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports.
Go play hockey.
Garrett Mitchell looks the part, so maybe he should.
I think as... I'm about
you
to.
You kind of look like Garrett Mitchell if you look like any brewer.
I'm about to do a thing.
I look like Oliver Dunn.
As someone who coached baseball at a pretty high level, I can set up like that.
Okay.
But like the teaching of the strike zone, the understanding of a strike zone, the discipline of as a hitter with the strike zone is a crucial skill to success. And if you're going to tell guys, like, well, we don't actually know what the strike zone is because this umpire thinks it's over here and this umpire thinks it's over here.
But you don't know what pitch the pitcher is going to throw.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means.
You don't, like, you want, like, not everything needs to be defined. You don't know what's coming.
Between you and the other professional baseball player, that's a good thing. Between you, the other professional baseball player, and a bozo who can't tell the difference between 6 inches outside or a strike, and who is, to Grant's point, I know we're talking specifically about C.B. Buckner, but like, there should be, okay, I would meet you in the middle, so to speak, and say, you know what, the call can't get overturned if it's only an inch and a half outside. If it's more than an inch and a half outside, you got to reverse it. Like that's like there's an acceptable like error, like an acceptable like. Error percentage where I'd say, yeah, I guess you really should have swung. You can't be taking full count pitches that are, you know, six, like a half an inch off the plate and saying, oh, what are you doing, ump? That was a ball.
Because
there's a difference between a ball and like a 6 inches outside ball.
No, like, because this is just another version of what we already have, which is, well, we'll reverse the call if it's wrong, if it's clear, right, and indisputable. We can look at a call and say, well, that's the wrong call, but we can't overturn it. So we're going to be able to look at a call and say, hey, that's a bad call, but it's not bad enough to overturn it.
This is my compromise. I want it to be, if it's a ball, it's a ball. And I want it overturned by someone sitting up in the booth that says, well, that was a ball. I'm saying if I have to compromise, I'm going to say, okay, like there's a 4% error gap that we're willing to say, you know what, it was, but it was, that's my compromise. I don't want that. I want it to be clear and concrete. If it's a ball, it's a ball.
Okay, but the technology's changed. So in 20 years, you might get different balls and strikes based on the technology that you're going to get.
Update your operating system accordingly.
But then, right, it's different. Here, if I could pick replay or no replay, I would say no replay.
Are you saying in sports? Agreed. Or are you saying in baseball?
In all sports.
Agreed.
My main thing that I want in sports, my main thing with all these rule changes, is I want kids to be able to go to a park and play the game the way that it's played at the major league level. Okay. I want them to know what the rules are. Are we playing, like in high school, are we playing NFL field goal? Are we playing college catch? Are we playing, like, what are we, like, what the game should be relatively the same throughout. You don't have instant replay at these lower levels. The biggest bullshit that I have ever seen, that, like, when I see it and it makes me so mad, is in like a high school basketball game when mom's taping the fucking game and there's a call at the end and she goes, I have it on my phone. You need to look at this, sir. That's not how it goes, man.
Well, here's a sport that you...
At different levels, like, Paul, in different levels of baseball, there's 50 cameras at an MLB game. There's like 6 in the Northwoods League. So you're going to now try to figure out what you got all these different levels. And
two of them don't.
Now what if the camera operator like had a hiccup during the fucking thing and now you can't even fucking see the right camera?
So we need to
rely on humans.
Your main sport was soccer, right? My main sport growing up was tennis. It's not the same. Even it's like professional tennis. You have a guy sitting in a chair, right? You have a guy sitting in a chair. And even with that, there's replay. Growing up playing tennis, even at high levels of youth tennis, you call your own ball that goes in or out while you're trying to hit it on every single. So like some guy, like there'd be players you'd play. Yep. Well, that guy, he likes to call. I mean, he cheats. This guy's a cheater. This player you're about to play against is a cheater. And all you can really do to combat is say, are you sure? If anyone played tennis, like I did growing up, it's like all you can say is, are you sure? Which is basically like a shaming way of saying, I know it was fucking in. You're just a dick.
Wow.
The point is, I don't think there's any sport, golf. I actually don't know. Is golf one? But like, there's no sport.
We're going to be starting on golf. People sit at home and try to fucking ruin tournaments.
But I say there's your argument, though, is like, well, I want it to be the same. But even in one-on-one sports like tennis, it's not the same. Pro tennis players are not having to sit there and like watch the serve come their way and determine while determining how to hit it. Was it in or out? And do I have to yell out before I hit it back? So there's never a perfect, like, well, I want it to be exactly how it is in the professional leagues versus youth sports. Like,
so by this argument, though, by my argument, I would have to then counter a different argument, and I would have to advocate for shot clocks in high school.
Which would be a good thing.
I don't know.
The Pirates are so shitty. They were up 10-3, and the Cubs just took an 11-10 lead in the ninth. God, they're fucking embarrassing. Look, I just, you know what I hate? You know what my worst nightmare, Paul, is that it's the bottom of the ninth. It's a one-run game. These two teams have been walking a pitching duel, bullpen tightrope for an hour. Every baseball fan is at home is sitting on pins and needles. There's two outs, bottom of the ninth, full count. Pitcher throws a pitch on the fucking black. Ump rings them up. Everyone's going nuts. No, fucking dude. No.
Yeah, oh, and God.
And then the announcers are like, and we'll see.
It's over, but first, God, we have taken the pure joy out of moments.
Al Michaels is like, and he's in for now. It's like, can we? I just want to.
And there are no flags.
I get that. I like when the football thing where it's like a kickoff return, especially a punt return, especially where there's almost always a flag in every play. It sucks to have to check the field for a yellow flag to see, is this going to stand? Is this going to stand? But Grant, to the point of your example, like even the team that would win that game, like if it was a bad umpire call and the stadium erupts, even the winning team would be like, oh, that fuck. Like, you know, if you were a decent human and you won the game that way, you would always look back and be like, fuck. Like,
I cheer for the Milwaukee Brewers. I would not feel that. I wouldn't. Oh, we didn't deserve
like
that.
If you're a decent person. So like there's a caveat.
I suppose. Sure. But is that not a nightmare to you? Does that not make you cringe? The thought of games ending that way?
I would rather that not be the case, but it doesn't outweigh the positives of the call being right. players. And especially because, like, in those situations, Grant, I think it's even worse because umpires are humans who are feeling the moment. They're feeling the moment. They're feeling their spot.
Part of it.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that's part of it.
It's an awful part of it.
Then like, you as I a think fan it can affect what's you, on the field.
I think the umpire should not be part of the moment. You should fuck off and just.
I think if there's two outs in the bottom of the ninth and the game-winning run or the tying run is in scoring position and the pitch is this much below the strike zone and the stadium's going nuts, I think the umpire's a bitch if he doesn't ring the hitter up on that. And yeah. if my player gets rung up on that, I'm like, awful. You can't leave it in the ump's hands in that moment. And I'm not
everything
wanting that.
Everything you did up to that game,
if it isn't
credit to the, you, if you leave a moment up to the ump, you didn't win the game.
If the Brewers
you need
are,
a bigger margin of error. If you're ever relying on an ump, fuck you.
That's why if you want to have a margin of error conversation, I will give you like an inch off the plate can be called more than that.
If I think it should be a half inch? And now we're having a debate about that.
I don't care.
Another stupid rule on top of a rule.
Fine. I'm saying wherever we would settle, I'm willing to negotiate with you.
I don't want it. There's too much negotiation in sports.
I'm saying if you want to be like, hey, it's a half inch or it's an inch, I don't really actually care. But I'm saying there has to be a rule at which you'd say, because then, Grant, you can, this is why I think it's important. Because then as the hitter and as the hitting coach, you could teach the guys there's an acceptable amount that you're going to have to recognize. It can still be a strike, even if it's not. You'd still train your eyes to know what is or is not an acceptable margin of error for the ump's call. If the Brewers are a that play away from going to a World Series, in your lifetime, winning a World Series, and then you're going to always say, that fucking ump, that was a ball. And he got sucked up in the moment. He got caught up in the heat. He had to be a part of the moment. It will, like, anyway, I know I'm not going to, like, convince you to join the good side.
I know. That the thought of that is horrific, because as a Brewers fan, I might get one shot, maybe, possibly.
Maybe. And, like, and to be on the wrong side of that would be, honestly, for me, it would be like, okay, I'm done with this sport permanently. Like, that would be, like,
I'm too disabling
in that, like, okay, can't do it. Which is probably why it's similar, a similar feeling to, like, what was it, Saints-Vikings? The NFC, was that the one with the pass interference call where they started reviewing pass interference for a while?
Rams-Saints.
Yeah. Yeah, they reviewed it for a year and took it away. Like, that's dumb.
I also don't like rules that we add where we add them and it's like, we're never going to use that. I don't like needless rules either. So you're talking about we're gonna have to form a committee and a subcommittee.
How many times is hip check tackle going to be called?
I don't know.
It'll get called in the most dumb, obvious ways to benefit Kansas City, all three.
I don't know. All right. There's a lot of times I like to go in these kind of, and I'm like, yeah, I might be convinced this way. And I think you probably once or twice you guys have come around. I know I've come around on a couple of things, but I knew this one would probably be a stalemate that we would bicker about and not resolve, but that's okay.
Well, it wouldn't be a stalemate if you could just not be wrong.
This is a treat.
I don't think
I have to go.
This, by the way, I do too.
Same.
I don't think anyone listening to this.
Grant's got work to do.
I don't think anyone's going to hear this. And like, I feel like this is one that people are probably like, We're probably a good example of baseball fans. They're not going to like change their mind on this one. This one is like, you're dug in on this. I'm dug in on this one. I know that.
And then it'll get added and I won't care. That's what'll happen.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Grant Bills, Paul Immig. Thanks for coming into the Winklerverse. We've got more content for you this week. Should have some picks in the coming days. Stick around. As always, you can catch me on the Infinity Sports Network across stations throughout the country, 9P to 1A. Central Time. You can figure out the rest. Odyssey app and Sirius XM channel 158. We will talk again. Thank you for enjoying today.